Motorola will take a snapshot of our system. So any changes or adds, additions, if it's possible, if you have those pending, we're going to try and get those done before September 12th so we can minimize manual work. But of course, we can still do things after that date. A lot of moving parts. I'll probably let Nick talk to a little bit more about this, but of course, we still have the software upgrade. We're still working on TDMA. We're still working on backhaul, and we're still working on DoD work. So definitely a lot of moving parts in our upgrade. That is kind of the latest update. We did our annual inventory confirmation here in the last two quarters. That is substantially done, save for one, and I'll address that under new business. For our membership agreement renewals, usually these have come out by now. They are starting to go out. Apologies for the delayed budget adoption from the state, which put us a little bit far behind. I did send out an email here a couple weeks ago. We are extending that time frame of the current membership agreements out through the end of the month, and we're going to try and get those turned around as quickly as possible, and certainly appreciate you signing them and getting them back to us. But we'll work through that timeline with flexibility. So right now we are verifying agency points of contact and just making sure of that. So if you do get an email from Sherry asking about that, again, a prompt reply is certainly appreciated. We'll get this part of our administration done. For the month of June, the OMO did some document reviews, none with any substantive changes. So we reviewed the risk management plan for the system, our technology policy and procedure, of naming convention policy and procedure, the operations maintenance organizational chart, and the ALMR concept of operations. And again, both with just routine edits. So I want to talk a little bit about some system metrics. I think some of this is interesting this month. So if you are seeing the screen or referencing the PDF that Sherry sent out earlier this morning, you can see our group and individual calls, 1,870,000 and change for the month of June, and looking at our push-to-talks, 2,956,769 push-to-talks. So since we started keeping charts in this format, which was 2017, we haven't found any higher number for traffic on the system, so very likely this is one of our highest, if not the highest, months that is occurring for the system. We did a little bit of just looking into it. I was certainly curious as to what was driving it. We know we had a lot of exercises, a lot of DoD work, but looking at some of our basically what the busiest top groups were based on airtime, it seems like it's normal operations just with quite a busy summer. So AST is certainly busy judging from their radio traffic. Forestry is. Eielson, Elmendorf, all kind of in what I call that top 20 top groups. So not any real explanation for it besides some forest fires, which certainly contributed, but just thought that was interesting. So very, very busy on the system. With that kind of traffic, we do look at our busies, of course, and we certainly did have some busies this month. So when we talk about 2022 in June, total 1,160 monthly busies, which is far above our normal. About half of these busies, 656, were on one site, and that was the Nana site. And basically what's happening there is some forestry activity with some active fires, and all of those radios are affiliating to that Nana site. And Nana is kind of out there on its own. It's a three-channel site, very low capacity. Basically, that's what was causing the majority of those busies is those firefighting operations. We did talk to the forestry team, the incident management team that was taking over forestry and their communications unit leader. They've adjusted some of their traffic, so some more of that local traffic is going off to a conventional repeater and just some tactical things. So certainly a lot of that has now fallen off. We've been keeping an eye on that, and a lot of that traffic has moved off the Nana site, but it certainly was causing quite a bit of busies and some system impact. So I certainly appreciate them implementing that part of their communications plan as that incident management team grew. As far as the other sites, kind of in the top sites of busies, Canyon Creek and Money Knob. So Money Knob is kind of the northernmost site, which I'm going to assume has some influence on forestry. Canyon Creek, all up in Zone 2, kind of led the, or followed Manana as far as busies. And then also Fire Station 12 at Anchorage. So Again, just like the traffic analysis, I think there may have been some incidents there. There were some smaller sites that had some more busies than they usually do, but I'm going to assume that is really just following the traffic pattern. So thought that was interesting information for the user council, and certainly, of course, glad to see our system being utilized well, and with still, as you can see by the graph, more busies than last June from the exercises and some of those things, or I'm sorry, less busies, so going to than June of last year. So going in the right direction, even though we don't like to see quite that many. For subscribers, we added 56 subscriber units for a total of 24,864. We had 13 sites below our 3.9 metric, so one of those was due to an antenna repair, a couple due to backhaul communication issues, and most of those due to preventative maintenance inspections. So have those set, and then our website statistics to end this. We had 261 sessions and 887 page views for the month of June, 57% of those being new visitors and the majority of those being on desktop devices as opposed to mobile. So that is kind of our system statistics for June. And I want to go on and just ask our user council representatives if they have anything else to add to the report. And I'll start in the central area. Anything to add from central?
This is Tammy, and I have nothing to add.
Thank you, Tammy. And go north. Anything from our north representatives?
Good afternoon, Kyle Green from Northern. Nothing to add.
Okay, and we're going to southeast. Anything from southeast today?
Just want to thank you again for your visit in May. That was very helpful to get to chit-chat with you in person and go through some technical and operational things. And we are getting ready to host Ironman Alaska in Juneau in August. So we will be exercising on ALMR more than I think we ever have in the past. So it'll be a good event for us.
Appreciate that, Aaron, and I'm certainly looking forward to seeing how that works works for you down there, and it's certainly good to be able to see you in person as well. So we'll definitely look for a report on that, of course, once that event is over. And that is all I have. I'll turn it back to John, but I will certainly be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you, Dan. Are there any questions for Mr. Nelson? Well, moving on, the next bullet item is the System Management Office overview. Nick, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir.
Yes, not a whole lot right now. We've got some PMs that are going on. Southeast, we're going to be doing that GTR upgrade for one of the sites down there, followed by some PMs after that. There's not a whole lot else going on the current moment. Dan pretty much covered everything else.
Thanks, Nick. Are there any questions for the System Management Office? Hearing no questions, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. We'll start with State of Alaska, Mr. Scott Stormo.
Mainly just one thing to add. We moved to from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to the Department of Public Safety on 1 July, so don't expect that to cause any differences to how we support the system, other than we maybe have a more appropriate department to be in for advocating for the use of the system, since they are obviously the majority user of the public safety communication system. So should be a little easier to help explain to legislature, the administration, the importance of it, and when upgrades or expansions are needed. I think it'd be a good thing that we've been moved over to DPS. Do not have anything else unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Scott Stormo? Quiet group today. We're moving through the agenda quickly. The next is DOD. I did not hear Mr. Woodall online. Tim, did you join us late? I guess not. Any updates from DOD? Hearing none, we can move on to new business. The first item on new business is agency noncompliance for USERAC. Dan, is that your agenda item to discuss and bring up?
It is. I can speak to that, John. Thank you. So,
thank you.
This is per our procedure on the user council agenda, and it will also be on the executive council agenda. So, mainly give some background here. So, as I talked about, our agencies completed their inventory certifications for the year. So, this is our annual inventory process, and basically what this is the member agencies have a system in place that certify that the inventory that's shown in the AOMAR system is accurate and accurately represents their subscriber units. We go through this basically by sending out the inventory list near the end of the year. I think it actually starts in the last quarter of the previous year in October, November-ish, and it's a little bit of a process, so it continues periodically for all agencies until the end of the year. And then approximately early February, we send out a notice for signatures to certify this. And this is based on a 2012 Legislative Audit Committee recommendation to us that showed some gaps in our inventory management process. So this is how we fulfill that requirement. We were able to get all of our inventory confirmation forms returned except for one agency, which is U.S. Army Alaska. The Operations Management Office has tried in several ways and several communications throughout these months to try and gain compliance and finish this administrative requirement. At this point, we've had noncompliance from the agency. So this agenda item is to bring this forth to the User Council to provide a recommendation to the Executive Council. And essentially, my recommendation here to the User Council to pass forward is to turn over this issue to U.S. Army Alaska and Alaska Command as the signatory as part of the partnership for DOD and have that issue handled in that way. I'm not, I've tried in all the efforts that we have to try and get the issue resolved and have not been successful. And I think that is the probably the appropriate thing to do here and move on to the Executive Council. So this agenda item is just to provide a recommendation so Mr. Rockwell can report at our EC meeting in July. And that is the end of my report. John, did I lose everybody or am I still here?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking and I was on mute. Thank you very much, Dan. Let me just repeat myself so I can hear myself twice. Thank you very much. Are there any questions regarding moving this forward to the Executive Council? Are there any concerns moving this forward to the Executive Council?
Yeah, John, this is Rick from 11th Airborne Division. I would just say at this point, the Army is still searching for funding for the upgrade. We won't have any use for ALMR if the upgrade goes on without us. So maybe this is a discussion for not the user council. But so far as the compliance, we've frankly been working on more important, more pressing issues as to whether we remain partner in the cooperative as opposed to whether we have accounted for all of our radios.
I do understand that, and I agree that this needs to be continued to be a strong point to discuss, especially when it comes to if you have to pull out of the codicil and user agreements and all that kind of stuff. I I still think that this is a probably a good point to move forth to the executive council based on it just helps open up discussion to a higher level.
Well, I'd hate for us to become focused on the wrong thing. And I think that exactly the right thing is, you know, the zone two controller and a quarter of your funding is at risk, as opposed to compliance with a suggestion that you got from the legislature. So, I mean, we should probably consider which of those things we should have conversations about.
I don't disagree with you, Rick. I think the only reason I think that moving this forward would be advantageous because it just opens up that discussion to talk about what is important to focus on.
This is Scott. Just want to make sure, because it sounds like we're talking about two completely different things, but the acknowledgement that you do equipment accountability is probably pretty easy because at least the Air Force, I know we had annual inventories that had to be done. I assume the Army does something similar to keep track of all their products. So as long as you guys are doing your normal inventory equipment that you would do for things like the radios, I think it's safe for you to sign off that memo stating that you are accounting for it. This doesn't necessarily mean you have to go rerun an accountability process just specifically for this memo. It's just basically acknowledging that you are accounting for your property. The second part.
Yeah, sure, Scott.
The second thing you're talking about, to me, unless I'm missing something, sounds more like new business. Are you saying that the Army may not sign a membership agreement for the next year or for this current year?
Well, we're looking at all of our options. The USARAC is a very small organization at this point, but the Airborne Division, which was just flagged, is a much more developed organization with a great deal more headquarters. That's where our focus has been. I would say I've got several million dollars that I'm looking at the Army trying to put into some of our programs, some of which touch ALMR in an ancillary manner. And with, you know, the focus of my headquarters being towards that effort, there hasn't been an airborne division flag since 1943. So this is a new thing for us. So I'd say that there are some profound changes in the Army structure, and it may affect how our partnership at ALMR. So I really don't want to get focused too much on handheld inventories. I want to see whether or not we're going to remain part of the cooperative. And that is very much in question. So, you know, until I get funding, until I get the assurance that, yes, we're going to continue in fiscal partnership, I would say that, you know, these other things are ancillary to the conversation that we probably ought to have.
Okay, well, so I think this is more of a new business topic, and I think the easy way forward on the annual inventory might be just sign it and return it, whoever the POC is that signs it, assuming that the Army has got their own processes to keep track of their equipment, and that's probably the easy button for that one. But I do want to make sure, you know, we executed this option here in the contract with the understanding from the DOD that all the DOD participants were on board with this next year's of the contract. So are you saying you may not have funding to pay the bills for this coming fiscal year?
I'm saying that the upgrade, the Army being excluded from the upgrade, may break the requirement that the Army has. So I am continuing to move forward optimistically with funding requests, but I do not have it. And this isn't really new news. This is news from last October when I first got the proposal. So, you know, we can I just want us to not lose that that there are lots of things on the table here that normally are not on the table. So, yeah, when we go, when we talk to the executive council, it should be, hey, this system is useless if the Army can't get the funding and the Army's not interested in participating in something useless or paying for something that they're not getting. So, you know, what are our options there? In the meantime, I will continue, as I have since last October, to try to get funding for the specific amounts that were identified for the upgrade.
And we appreciate that, Rick. I know it puts you in a hard position. You know, you don't want to make a promise that you cannot keep if you don't have the funding. You've been very open with us as far as right now you don't have it, and it's difficult to say I support the upgrade, which you have said that you support the upgrade. But until you have the funding, it's difficult for you to say, okay, you know, I'm 100% on board. The discussion that we're having right now, I guess it's twofold. Number one, it's just, you know, the non-compliance. And my thought still is this could just be another thing that we could say to the executive council. This has got some serious ramifications. So let's take the second half that we've been bringing up and move that into an offline discussion regarding what can we do if push comes to shove, and we should set up some additional meetings and discussions with between, you know, State of Alaska and DOD, and bring in also Municipality of Anchorage, our other third partner, because they would be impacted with a lesser degree, but still. Any other discussions regarding this topic regarding the non-compliance? Moving on to the other item of new business is the FEMA Region 10 Emergency Communications Coordination Working Group and Communication Exercise. Dan, I think you're on the agenda for that. Is that true?
Yeah, I think Mr. Wilhelm is on. Hopefully I saw him and we'll be able to speak to this one. Are you on, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you, Rick Wilhelm, FEMA Region 10, Disaster Emergency Communications. And just sending out another invite reminder, July 13th in Anchorage will be the in-person RECWIG, as well as held virtually. Sorry, I'm mobile at the moment. Sherry or Dan, you could put my email in the chat, that would be great. Anyone that's interested, please give me an email. If you'd like to be added to the RECWIG distro, I can do that as well. Following up the RECWIG, we're going to be doing a tabletop exercise on the 14th, same location and in Anchorage. And we have a number of speakers for both the RECWIG and the COMEX. So look forward to seeing you all, and appreciate the opportunity to speak today. So back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions regarding the RECWIG or the tabletop exercise? I know that Dan put Mr. Wilhelm's email address in the chat. How about additional new business? Does anybody have any additional new business that they would like to bring up at this time? Well, hearing none on the new business, how about just any questions or comments? We can just kind of go around the table. Are there any questions or comments that someone would like to address? So currently our next meetings are scheduled for August 3rd and September 7th. Dan, do we have a speaker after this meeting?
We don't today. We do not have a demo or speaker today. We do have some for the next couple months. I believe ICOM and Verizon will be here in the August and September meetings. So we'll announce that ahead of time to have that on your calendars.
Most excellent. Thank you so very much, Dan. Open the mic up for additional questions. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Jim Goodman.
Thank you, sir. And a second.
This is Henry Cole. I'll second.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cole. All right. Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.